Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
What's up, you guys? It's Wednesday night, and you know what that means. I know I'm not the one that's usually saying that to you, but Sean is traveling for the biggest wrestling weekend of the year. I'm your host for this evening. We're going to be covering AEW Dynamite. My name is Robert DeFelice. I'm here with Alex Pawlowski. A lot of you are way more familiar with him. Alex, how you doing tonight?
I'm all right. As Sean and I coined a while ago while talking about Raw many years ago, there was such a thing as the Monday Night Monkey's Paw, where you wish for something to happen, and it happens, but not the way you want it. And so tonight we got the Wednesday night Monkey's Paw after the main event. So it's just a thing, you know, for me, it's not exactly how I want to be rooting for Adam Cole to get victories, but we'll see. Honestly, a great night. Really cool stuff. The halfway point of the show gave us some of the most, I think, intrigue over the next 2 months of programming that I can imagine. And I'm very, very excited.
Absolutely, a very give and take show tonight, I would say myself. But we want to hear what you guys have to say. So get in your super chats, get in those Humper Chats at humperchats.com. And our wonderful moderator, Luis, will be sorting that all out for us. It is also his birthday, so show him some love on his wonderful day. And yes, we will just start breaking this all down with how the show started, which was Matt Hardy against Jungle Boy Jack Perry. Mm-hmm. Jungle Boy, I would say, needed a strong win coming into this show because he needs to look strong going up against MJF and probably a few of the other pillars. And Matt Hardy is the best veteran who just wants to help the young talent put on as good of a match as they possibly can. Of course, this had Ethan Page ringside. We would eventually get the reuniting of Jungle Hook
I wanted to see him like embracing the ring or something, but I'm sure we'll get a tag match out of it, and that's enough for me. I want them to be Luke Perry and Jason Priestley. I want them to be like the best friends. Occasionally ships passing in the night, that's good enough, but you know I always want more.
Yes, I mean, Hook's not really an emotional guy. If he's gonna take a photo at a signing, I'm pretty sure fans have to actually request that he smile. He doesn't really want to be the emotional type, but you know, this was a great kind of showcase match for Jungle Boy. It furthered his relationship with Hook, and it also furthered the dissension of the firm as Ethan Page accidentally punched Matt Hardy in the face, because Matt Hardy seems to just be orchestrating the absolute downfall of this group. Yep. And then once it was all over, Alex, champion MJF came out and had quite a lot to say about young Jack Perry. He said when they had their match at Double or Nothing 2020, you know, He felt like he met his equal. He said, I finally found someone I respect. And then I told you to stop being such a nice guy. And Jack Perry basically said, well, if I have to be like you, then I wouldn't want to be at the top of this industry. And I thought it was actually a great back and forth. One of the first really good back and forths Jungle Boys had without having to bring up Christian's ex-wife. So what'd you think of this segment?
The match I thought was really good. I thought the Matt really took it to Jack, which is necessary for a match like this to give Jack a lot of time to sell and fight from underneath. And the side effects that Matt is hitting, like on the apron, on the outside, really looking really stiff. That's good stuff. That's what we need from him in this role. Love Hook coming out. I like that little. I like anytime there's a little bit of inkling we're gonna get Jungle Hook again. I'm very excited for it. I don't need them to always be together, but I do need from them once for them to be tag champs for like I don't know a month and a half. Just so we can say that happened. Jacket and the victory, good. MJF coming out to interrupt, and I like. If they are going to do this thing that I hope they do, which is the fatal four-way among the pillars at Double or Nothing, it certainly seems that's what they're doing. I love the idea of MJF running separate feuds with all four of them that then result in a four-way match with all three of them, excuse me. So this, like, coming out and talking to Jack tonight sets the tone for what this particular feud is about. There's a different tone that's going to be set for the Sammy one and a different tone that's going to be set for the Darby one, but they all happen at the same time. I think that's really cool, and it's going to show off how versatile Max can be as a heel, because one of the things that I loved about all of this is that he says, I can be honest. Like, I had that match with you where we tore the house down at Double or Nothing 2020. We stole the show. Everyone knew we were the face, we were the future of the business. I can admit that for the first time in my life, I was in the ring with a guy I thought was my equal, was my rival, a guy that I would be fighting for the rest of my life. And I found you backstage and I wanted to shook your hand because I was the bigger man and all this stuff. Of course, he builds himself up in it. But the fact that he's able to actually show that underlying baseline of respect for Jack Perry. And then turn it on its head and say, you're a nice guy. Nice guys finish last. And if you had only followed what I told you to do, then everything would be fine for you. But now it's not. Obviously, you're the one who's complaining about it. But I thought that all of this was really, really well done. I like the fire that I saw in Jack. I like the Jack admitting that he's like, yeah, you know what? There are a lot of things about you that I wish that I had. I wish I had that kind of confidence. But I also feel like that confidence makes you a narcissist, which I don't want any part of. I thought that was a really well put together promo segment between the two of them. And now I love that this is where this part of this this program for the Four Pillars match is starting from. And I'm really interested in seeing how they differentiate that with the other two.
I do hope that they carry this to Double or Nothing. I think the Pillars deserve the spotlight. It's been 3 years. This is where the company should be. We should be able to see them in a match. And obviously we saw Darby watching this match. And we saw Sammy watching the match with Tay. Sure. Hopefully they get more into it as well. Right now, I really like the idea of this headlining a pay-per-view. I do think the company probably has something else in mind to headline the next card, but this is a great match to anchor a show and spotlight their core talent.
Right. No, I think this is really good. I certainly have an open mind for what they're going to do with the other two and how it should be different and fun. And we'll see where that goes. They have a lot of work to do with Sammy in particular, with me, making him feel like he belongs in this, because I do feel like they have done a great job in making Darby feel very, very special the whole way through, And I think Jungle Boy, his arc, finally getting over this thing with Christian, leads him directly into this path. Sammy still feels like Jericho's stooge. He's always going to feel like Jericho's stooge until they do something to make him not feel like that. And that's what I anticipate they're going to try to do with this storyline.
Yeah, and I completely agree. I didn't appreciate him referring to himself as the job guy for the JAS a couple weeks ago. He needs to have more confidence in his own ability. But guys, remember to get in your super chats and your humper chats, like this great one from Tom LaValle that says, happy birthday, Luis. Again, watching y'all on the small screen with all access on the big screen. Thank you. My takeaway tonight, wanted Butch to win. We'll talk about that. Yeah, but as we roll along here, we got a vignette with the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn going out in the town with 2.0. They took him out to eat. They took him out to a hockey game. They're like, "What are you in? Are you in the JAS?" And they say, "We'll tell you next week." Harmless fun, Alex. Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
I did appreciate Billy Gunn being the guy, be like, "Are you sure you want to do this? You're going to pay for whatever we want with Jericho's card. All right. Lobster and steak and wine for everybody." Like, it was great. Like, he's the guy who, like, honestly, he's a, you know what? He's a dad. It's like, "Are you sure you want to do this? Because I'm going to let you make that choice. Are you sure you do? If you do, fine. But I'm also not going to make it easy on you." Like, there's some really good stuff there. I like that a lot. Do I think the Acclaimed are going to join JAS? No, I do not. The JAS is being spread awful thin right now. Yas is out there going, no, they're saying no. They're not saying Yas. They're saying no. Like, we have, they're still involved. Are they still involved with this thing with the House of Black? But now we got this thing we're going to talk about later with Jericho and Cole. Now we get this thing we're going to try and get at the Acclaimed. The Acclaimed are going to say no. So now we got a different thing. I think this is supposed to pull at all the strands of the JAS, hopefully breaking them up for good, and I don't have to watch that act anymore.
I do like seeing them go in separate ways, because if you've got, you know, five guys, you should probably spread them out like this, and mm-hmm. everywhere they're going at least makes sense, even mm-hmm. if I'm sure a lot of people weren't too thrilled with the exposure of the JAS tonight.
Yeah.
But earlier in the night, we had Don Callis talking to Kenny Omega. He says, "Hey, you know, I'm sorry. I slipped last week. He didn't, Paige didn't hit me. I apologize. But hey, why do you think he hit me? What trust issues do you have with your friend?"
Such good gaslighting. Kenny, such good gaslighting.
Deadpans him and goes, "He's hit you before. What do you mean? Why did I think he hit you? He's done it before." And Callis goes, "I'm going to apologize to him myself. I'm going to find him. I'll be the bigger man. I'll handle this." And Kenny's like, "I'm not asking you to handle this. What are you doing?" So
yeah,
Callis does go.
Yeah.
He does go to talk to Hangman, who is being interviewed by Marvez. He says, "Well, who do you think attacked the Elite last week?" And Hangman says, "Well, it was obviously the Blackpool Combat Club. It was obviously these guys." And here comes Callis saying, "Hey, I'm sorry. I slipped. No big deal." And boom, here comes the BCC, they beat him down. They Moxley punches Callis, and Callis is busted wide open, mm-hmm. which was absolutely gnarly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so here for Moxley and his band of goons who just beat up everybody they come into contact with. They're like the ultimate bullies. And you can't fight back against him. I guess we should mention here, like, this was after they squashed Dalton and the boys. Well, Claudio squashed a boy while the other boy and Dalton were on the outside and being put in
getting mauled.
Like this is exactly how this type of a trio should run a match. Attack your opponents before the match starts. The guy who's legal gets run out of the building by one of your three guys, while the other two of your guys put his friends in a submission on the outside, because you know Rick Knox is never going to call anything, or whoever was the referee. No one's ever going to do anything about it. So this was great. Honestly, it was a perfect thing. Do I think it made Dalton Castle and the boys look bad? No, because Dalton was out there getting his ass whooped by Moxley in a surprise attack. And the boys are the boys. Let's be honest. They don't have names. They're going to get their asses handed to them by Claudio Castagnoli. So this was honestly a great way to immediately get this out of the way. And then you move directly into now basically BCC has decided that everyone is fair game. They're just going to take out everybody, including Don Callis. I wonder if Don Callis got busted open when his sunglasses got slapped off his face. Because if they broke when they got slapped off his face, that could have easily cut him in the forehead.
There was
a punch
report
from Moxley did not look good.
There was a report from Mike Johnson that said he got legitimately busted open. So that would make more sense that the glasses that did that. And not just like John Moxley's powers of bleeding on every single show just being placed into Callis for the evening.
Yeah.
But Tony Schiavone runs up to Kenny Omega and says, "Hey, I know you got this match, Jeff Cobb coming up right now, but BCC just beat up Hangman and Don Callis."
Yep.
And Kenny gets pissed, but he says, "I've got a match." And boy, did he ever, because Kenny and Jeff Cobb absolutely tore it down. You know, you had Cobb trying to beat Kenny Omega, doing the finger gun pose, doing the V trigger, went for the one winged angel. Kenny got to slip off the back. He was working his back the entire match, but, you know, managed to pull out a couple V triggers, Snapdragon, eventually with the help of the ropes, gets him up in the one winged angel, and no one kicks out of that. Kenny wins in a really fun match, and the fun was only just beginning there, Alex, but what'd you think of the match?
First of all, I'm told I have to mention this. Fully cop to not watching watching every like bell to bell that I could possibly get of Kenny Omega in New Japan years ago, but not seeing a lot of his entrances. So I did not spot Devil's Sky when it started playing like everyone on my timeline did. And they went absolutely ape shit about it. I was like, "Oh yeah, that is New Japan theme." So that's great. Everyone's really excited about that. People think it portends something very specific. I don't know what it portends.
It just means he's defending a New Japan belt, and they just had the rights to that song for the evening,
which is totally great. This is what I love. The subtle. Not. I don't know if it's even subtle because it's pretty obvious to me. But Kenny Omega being such an amazingly well-rounded wrestler, if he's not the best, he's 1A or 1B. Like, he's so great. But last week, he goes up against Vikingo, who's, like, half his size, but twice as fast as Kenny Omega, who is a really fast dude. And so Kenny Omega has to alter his whole way of doing stuff and say, "Well, he's faster than I am. But if I can catch him a couple of times, I can really hurt him because I'm bigger than he is." Then the next week, he goes up against Jeff Cobb, who is surprisingly fast for his size, but also way stronger and bigger than Kenny Omega. So Kenny Omega goes, "I got to see if I can match his speed and double it in order to beat him." It's fantastic that he uses two completely different advantages against one small fast guy 1 week and one big, you know, fast but not as fast as Kenny guy the next week. This was so great. It was a completely different style of Kenny Omega wrestling. Cobb is amazing. I've always loved Cobb. I loved, like, Cobb hit a V trigger like that. Like, a man as big as he is, running as fast as he is, putting his knee in your friggin' ear should kill a normal man. Thank God Kenny Omega is not a normal man, because he got up out of that and was able to hit a one-winged angel on him to get the win after a couple of V-triggers. This match was amazing and had a wonderful, wonderful, intriguing, beautiful thing that happened after it that I can't keep talking about.
This was my favorite part of the show, Alex. Let's talk about it. BCC, they're not done. They just want to beat more people up, Alex. Mm-hmm. And they in fact did, and therefore out comes Mox, out comes Yuta, out comes Claudio. They're doing like the Shield thing where they kind of get around the ring, and suddenly here comes Bryan Danielson, who runs down to the ring. BCC backs everything, like, what are you doing? What's going on here? He helps Kenny Omega up. Kenny Omega's like, yeah, what now? And turn around, and Psycho Knee, Bryan Danielson, turns full heel with the BCC. He does the lapel lock, holds on to Kenny's nostrils to make him stop kind of breathing. He smothers him, and we are on the road to what I think will be the best thing this company presents all year, which is probably Anarchy in the Arena, followed by Blood and Guts. What do you think, Alex?
Honestly, I don't even want the gimmick. I want these eight guys in a match. I always eat these eight guys in a match. I mean, listen, we'll get the gimmick eventually, but I need to see a normal match between these gentlemen first, and then we'll add all the gimmicks afterwards. I love this because I don't know why, but for the first 15 seconds, I didn't see it coming because I so badly wanted Danielson and Omega to be friends, if only for a little while, because the two of them together, who's stopping that? You know what I mean? Like, obviously, it doesn't make any sense because he's got the Bucks. Well, we don't know how long Matt's going to be out with his bicep thing. And there's the tension with Hangman. Like, I was excited for the possibility of them just doing Bryan Danielson coming back and being like, this is not what I signed up for. Like, I like wrestling hard and kicking people's heads in the ring in a sanctioned match. I don't need to do what you guys have been doing, which is running amok and causing craziness. William Regal never would have wanted this. He wants violence, but in the ring, not what you're doing. I thought they were going to do that with Danielson. And how stupid was I? Because obviously the best thing is for him to have said, after losing to MJF, when he says, I'm going home, it's not, I'm going to go back and hang out with my kids and Brie, although that's probably what he did do for a couple of weeks. It's not, I'm going back to ROH. It's not, Lord knows, going back to WWE. It's going back to violence. It's going back to kicking mother effers effing heads in. That's who Danielson really is. That's his home. And so he's going back home. And of course, the perfect thing is Kenny Omega, who he fought to a standstill a couple of times and always said, you're not better than me, Kenny. You're still not better than me. And how are we going to do this now? Now he's just out for blood. Now he's just out to ruin Kenny Omega's Christmas. Like, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait for this, man.
A couple things. I did notice that Bryan said to Kenny, you are what's wrong with professional wrestling,
right,
after he was done beating him up. Yeah. I also want to point out, when Bryan showed up 2 years ago, he said in the first post-show scrum, look, CM Punk can come back and want to help the young guys. That's fine. I just want to kick their heads in.
Right.
And I think it's time
that
Bryan Danielson starts kicking their heads in. Well, we got a few super chats about this. We got one from Ricardo that just simply says, BCC kicked the shit out of Kenny. And yeah, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. And Jambeard said, give Bryan the U.S. title. It'd be the perfect reason to send him to Japan for a few matches. I know Bryan wants to go to Japan.
Yep.
I am not against at all the idea of Bryan getting his actual win against Omega, goes to Japan as U.S. champion, can lose it to anyone, or just, you know, defend it at Forbidden Door or do whatever. Bryan is the perfect pro wrestler in a lot of ways, and this is great.
Here's the thing, you know, Tony loves his long feuds so much. So it's like 2 months between now and Double or Nothing. So we'll see. But Matt Jackson's bicep might heal on its own. That's apparently what they're trying to do, according to Bryan Alvarez, I guess. Is that's what they're trying to do with it, is to see if it is a partial tear, might heal on its own. So if they do that, then he'll be back in time for the first match these guys ever have, because that's how long it takes for matches and feuds to actually happen in AEW. This thing probably lasts all the way to like Grand Slam or something. This thing's going to be an incredibly long feud with all these great matches. So I have no doubt we're going to get our big Anarchy in the Arena type style match. But I always want to see those matches be potential blow-offs as opposed to the first match between a faction. That's just me. I love the idea of Danielson taking the title off of Omega. But I also just love Danielson leading AEW's Four Horsemen. Like, it's a perfect analogy. Jeff Hawkins, old Fightful buddy, had it on Twitter that, like, Danielson is the charismatic leader who's Flair. You got Tully, who is the bad lieutenant. That's John Moxley. You got the veteran who loves kicking ass. That's Claudio. And you got the young guy who's Arn. That's the original Four Horsemen. It's perfect. And these guys just running wild all over AEW, not giving a damn about titles yet, but eventually they will. And they're going to try and murder everybody on their way to the top. It's great.
You know, I like that comparison. I might say, Moxley's probably a little bit of Oli just because of how surly he is. But I do like that comparison. And we got this great super chat from Jambeard here that says, BCC trying to take out all of Paige's friends is because it's the elite to reform. It's basic but great storytelling.
It's perfect.
I agree. And if Matt Jackson is down, it's not like there's not another member of the elite that's sort of floating around back in ring. Yeah. You know, that they do have options.
They have lots of options. There's also, like, literally any wrestler backstage would jump at the opportunity to be written into this storyline for any reason. Like, you, this is the biggest thing that AEW might have done, might be doing all year. Yes, I would greatly like to be the replacement for Matt Jackson in this storyline. Find a way to get me into this.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we never did see the original Blood and Guts because I believe Hardy ended up being the replacement for Cody. And, you know, there is a way to get a lot of people into this storyline. And we got this great super chat from Kylie here. Always appreciate the support from Kylie. Glad you're watching with us.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
But yeah, let's keep going here because the fun didn't stop there because we had a Guns promo, Alex, where they essentially said next week.
That's where the fun stopped for me.
Well, it picks up shortly after.
Yeah, it's true.
So the Guns said, FTR, we beat you next week and your catchphrase will finally be true. Top guys out.
Right.
And JJ wants to know, what do you think about FTR and the Guns match? In my opinion, why take the belts off the Acclaimed to set up this match? I feel it hurts both teams' momentum. Here's what I feel doesn't hurt momentum. FTR is tag team champions of any wrestling promotion ever. FTR is fantastic, and it's an easy thing to do to beat the heels, the young kids, get a quick tag title reign. I like it. I hope FTR wins on Long Island.
I will say this. I think as a general rule for AEW right now, the more different champions you have across all divisions, the better. Because it has an incredible amount of cachet to people who are tuning into your program for the first time when you get to say, these guys are former tag champions. This one is a former TNT champion. This one's a former two-time international champion. Whatever you get. Anytime you can do that, immediately you go, even if they're not booked to win that night, somebody who's tuning in immediately goes, well, if somebody can beat a former two-time TNT champion, that's a big deal. You don't have the 30, 40-year history. You don't have anybody who's been in your company for 10, 12 years who can have all of these title reigns. So you for right now, I think it's really cool that you give the Guns a title reign that lasts a couple of months. You put it back on FTR, and then you can move forward. I think that's good for the Guns, even though I'm not a huge fan of theirs. I think they're getting better and better. I will admit that. I still think that it wasn't the right time to take the titles off of the Acclaimed, but the Acclaimed are going to be over whether they have the titles or not. So as long as you keep them on TV, that's all that matters. Because they're going to get a pop with the rap, and they're going to do fun stuff. So that's all that matters there. I think that FTR certainly should win the titles versus the Guns, because the alternative to me is too unthinkable to even fathom. So yes, they must win. They must stay in AEW. They must win. They must become the champions.
Yes. We got more Humber Chats and Super Chats about the wonderful segment with the BCC and the Elite. Grayman Media says BCC ain't nothing to F with.
No, it's true.
Wonder what's going to happen at Supercard of Honor. Kingston and Shibata are in trouble. Looking forward to Friday night. I agree. I think Kingston's winning. I'll just say that right now. I think Kingston will actually win.
Wow.
I think Shibata probably not as likely because, you know, I don't know if he's going to really be in Ring of Honor to defend the Pure title, but I think Kingston gets his moment and wins. And while we're on the subject of Supercard, we had a super chat from Jaden Fox that said, good day, Robert and Alex. I might skip SmackDown this weekend for Supercard. May the good graphs delight you. I will not be skipping SmackDown. I will be on the SmackDown post show.
Yeah.
If I could, perhaps I would. But where I will be. But yes, I think Kingston is finally going to get his moment against Claudio this weekend.
Yeah. I'd love that for Eddie. I really would. And maybe the plan, just so they can not have to worry about Claudio pulling double duty, if he's going to be involved in this BCC versus the Elite story, which is incredibly important to AEW, maybe you don't want him pulling double duty right now. Eddie Kingston getting the victory in a very meaningful match for him by beating Claudio certainly could be the play. If Claudio does retain, I still want Adam Page to be the one to beat him, because I think that's part of this overall story. I think Page versus Claudio would be an amazing match, and Page never got to be ROH champ when he was in ROH, so I think that'd be a kind of a cool thing too. But yeah, honestly, number one thing would be for Eddie Kingston winning and getting that moment would be amazing. Yeah, Supercard of Honor going directly up against Rampage is also a fun one. for me to be like, oh, okay, good, fine.
I have questions, but they're going to do what they're going to do, and we're going to cover it all here on Fightful.
Yep.
But we got another one here from Ronald Hollick that asks, any chance of Shooter Umino could be a fifth for the Blackpool Combat Club if Ibushi or Takeshita are factored into the Elite? Now, hear me out. What I would do is have Takeshita, who Don's been courting, actually say, no, I've always had an allegiance to Brian. Mm-hmm. I'd rather be there, and then you bring in Ibushi, and there's your five. If we need to do the five, I prefer five, the four on four. But if you need the five, it's there. What do you think?
I'm not ready to be told to root against Takeshita.
Agree.
You know what I mean? I mean, I get it, heels and faces or whatever, but he's just. I want to watch him win a bunch of matches and become a champion. And I don't want to be conflicted about that because he's running with the biggest bunch of bullies in the entire company. I get it. I can have my favorites and root for heels to win or whatever, but I try and respect what the show is telling me the allegiances are and whether or not I'm supposed to boo or cheer. I get it. I'm not it's not still real to me, damn it. But in that sense, I try and figure out what it is they're wanting for this character. I think Takeshita is incredibly, it's so easy to root for that guy. And I don't want to not quote unquote be able to anymore. I do love the idea of him just basically spitting in Don Callis's face because that's always fun. That's always a good thing. Right.
And I think in a case like this, fans are going to have the allegiances they're going to have.
Right.
One way or another, and just enjoy the match. Mm-hmm. So the options are there. And we got another one from Jambeard, Alex, that says, Alex, what we really need is a tag match of the Guns versus Double J and Shamrock Shake.
Yeah, that's definitely what we need.
All right, who are we referring to when we say Shamrock Shake?
That's Dom Mysterio, of course, because he's green and vanilla.
Okay. All right, Alex. Very, very good. I agree. I think...
Keep up. Keep up, man. Keep up.
I think Dom's going to have a great weekend. I think he'll be far away from Jeff Jarrett, as he should be. That's but these shows have been lacking Jeff Jarrett lately.
It's really too bad.
I'm sure that's really breaking your heart, Alex.
It is, man. I missed seeing his face on my screen. Oh, I couldn't get through it. I almost did, but I couldn't do it.
All right, well, moving on here, we've got the International Championship match. Orange Cassidy has another just really fun match with the Butcher, Alex. Mm-hmm. The Blade doesn't waste any time trying to bring in a crowbar. Referee tosses him out immediately. Mm-hmm. Cassidy tries to go for a quick ending, fails with the orange punch, fails at the beach break, so tries to go for his light hits. Butcher beats him down a little bit eventually because the referee's in AEW. Are always caught sleeping, Alex. Blade does come back with crowbar, hits Cassidy in the back. Out come best friends to help him. Cassidy, of course, wins because we weren't really going to give a title to the Butcher. But what'd you think of the match? What do you think of just this great title run from Orange Cassidy?
I don't necessarily need I do love the Butcher. I mean, that guy's out there wearing capri pants and a red sash belt. And he makes it look intimidating because he's the Butcher. He's great. I love that dude. I don't necessarily need a singles run from him as a champion. I think the Butcher and the Blade are a great shout to get another one of those quick tag team title reigns because it'll always be a thing that you can say former tag champions about them, and then it becomes more important when some team beats them on a Rampage. That is a thing, regardless of whether or not you think it is, it actually works. But this was great. Butcher is incredibly compelling as a big, beefy dude who hurts men smaller than him. He's incredibly compelling in that role. He's great at it. This was a lot of fun. I do think that Cassidy's he's now 17-0 in his last 17 singles matches. Okay, great. Where does this go? Where are we going with this? You cannot be waiting for the perfect guy to take his title. I don't know where we're, what we're doing with, like, it's cool. Like, it was a good, it's been a great international championship run, all Atlantic title run as well. But now I think it's perfectly fine now for him to lose and somebody else to go on a run with that belt. That's belts. There's no reason for him, anybody to hold that belt for 6 months. Like, that's a great belt to, like, get somebody a championship run along the way.
You know, Alex, if you're asking where is this going with the international title, and if you want to go anywhere internationally, whether it be for 6 months, a year, or even just 2 hours during Dynamite for reasons unknown, we have a great sponsor, and Alex and Sean Rossat's going to tell you all about how to do that.
Nord. NordVPN.com/Fightful. What more can I say that I haven't already said? Well, I'm going to have to say a few things because this is an ad read for NordVPN.com/Fightful. You know, the way that I get UFC pay-per-views for 1/6 the price, the way that I'm able to unlock lots of content, the way that I'm able to keep myself browsing safely and securely when I'm on the road or when I'm at home on all my devices. This bad boy right here, this bad boy right here, all these bad boys around here that you can't even see are all protected with NordVPN.com/Fightful, a 30-day money-back guarantee. You already get a great deal on it. The amount in savings that I had the first month beat the price that I paid for the subscription itself. And again, works on all your devices with one subscription. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Check out their many great tiers and tons of other great features. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Yes, they're very good to us. NordVPN, legitimately great sponsor. We love having them on board. And if I do say so myself, I use them when I don't want to watch commercials during Dynamite, and it's flawless.
Yeah, that's very good for that reason. That's for sure.
But yeah, that was your Orange Cassidy match of the week. And we move along here, and we had a promo from Jade Cargill. She's still mad. Ty Valkyrie's still here, still using the Jaded. She says, you guys better handle it this time. Sterling has someone else who's going to hand her the paperwork that says stop using this move. I don't know, Alex, what do you think? Taya is...
Jeez, I wonder if this person who serves her with papers is going to get a road to Valhalla given to them. It certainly does feel like
possible.
They brought in a ringer to bump for one move. Hey, I'm here with my baddie Layla, who's just gonna say a few things. I'm gonna say a word, then she's gonna repeat it. She's doing great, everybody. Also, I'm here with my lawyer, who's got a broken nose from taking the road to Valhalla, and he's gonna introduce you to this woman who's gonna stand over here looking menacing but not say anything for this entire promo. I wonder what her role will be in this match we're gonna tape later tonight. So this is fun. The road to Valhalla versus Jaded thing is interesting. I wonder if the end of this is going to be the winner of the match between them not only becomes the champion but gets to keep using the move. Like, I wonder if that's what they're actually going to put that on the line. There's some interesting stuff.
Yeah, and we got a comment here from Jambeard that says, I mean, respectfully, Jade, and I'm sure you're not the only one who has these thoughts every time Jade Cargo pops up on screen.
Nope.
And we have one that I must have missed because I didn't hear this when Jeff Cobb was in the ring. And it says, that's right, Taz. And he used to kill and eat people in the Lucha Underground promotion.
I did not hear that either. Please tell me that was something was actually said on the air.
That had to be from Excalibur.
I have to go back and listen to that quoted. I must have missed it.
That's fantastic. Great. They have such a good time the booth. And it's great to see.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Moving on, we got a Rock Hard Juice Robinson promo. He's going to fight Action Andretti on Rampage. Oh, and he's fighting Starks next week. What do you think about Juice?
I love Juice Robinson. I think that he's got so much heel fire, which is really, like, he's crazy. Like, there's something about his eyes. You look in there and you go, oh, that man is definitely beating the Drifter to death. Like, he's got something in him that is like, you know, there's something wrong with that dude. And I think that's great. You need a guy like that. I love this idea of him and Ricky Starks. I like the idea of drawing it out. by having him beat the absolute crap out of Action Andretti on the way there. Action Andretti will look great in the match, no doubt. But I think that the end of it is it's got to be Juice who wins, because that Juice and Ricky Starks thing is going to be really good. Here's the deal with this. I don't know. I mean, obviously you have Ricky Starks win this feud with Juice Robinson eventually. And then what? Because it really looked like the and then what after his match with MJF was the sky's the limit. And then he was locked in that thing with Jericho that didn't really go anywhere. And good for Jericho for putting over Ricky Starks. And the and then what is a great feud, I'm going to say. But for a lot of people, it's not enough. Like, where's Ricky Starks going from here? Like, it doesn't feel like we're getting anywhere.
I know that a lot of people wanted, like you saw a lot of social media say when Bullet Club interrupted Ricky Starks, they're hoping for Jay White. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's the and then what. I think the and then what is Starks beats Hobbs for the TNT title.
That's what I think too. But I thought you could have easily gone directly there, because Hobbs became the TNT champion on the same night that Ricky put Jericho in his rearview mirror. I think they want to have Hobbs have a longer reign, so you're going to do whatever you're going to do with Juice and for Starks, and then after Juice, you go to Hobbs. I think that's a perfectly fine thing to do.
Before we move on here, we do have a comment from Lee Butler, and I don't want to forget it, that just asks, who is Don Stevens? And I'm not sure.
Did I say Don Stevens? Or did
you might
say
have said Don Stevens instead of Don Callis.
It's possible. One of us said Don Stevens instead of Don Callis. I'm not.
Don saying... Stevens might be a better human being than Don Callis.
It's just possible.
It's very possible when talking about the good old jackal. But
it's true.
Moving on, we got Ruby Soho and Willow Nightingale in a match that I almost feel is too soon. Like, you could have really gotten something out of this if you built it a bit more, but this was just Ruby's heel now. Willow's sad about it, and they had a match. Ruby distracts Aubrey. Soraya is just giving knees on the apron. She's doing a little bit too much for the referee to be completely distracted for this. Willow was just emotional the entire match. She did a great job of conveying that I'm sad that I have to fight my former friend. She really tried, Alex. She, hit her spine buster. She kicked out of two No Futures. She got out of Destination Unknown. Almost got it with Backslide. Didn't get lucky. Ends up losing to the old roll-up special. How'd you feel about it? And how are you feeling about the Outcasts in general?
Well, listen, I think they did an incredible job of protecting Willow. She didn't lose the match. Like, Ruby cheated with the most ridiculous, underhanded, weak way to cheat possible. A roll up with your feet on the ropes. So Willow won the match. She kicked out of two No Futures. She won the match. I thought it was a really good match. Good showcase for Willow. I think the Outcast. I don't. This feels very Groundhog Day for me. A member of the Outcasts wrestles a woman who is at least tertiarily involved in this feud. Sky Blue, Willow, somebody like that. And then after they win the match, probably via some kind of underhanded thing, they are going to spray paint an L on that woman that they've just beaten. Oh, but then look, it's Riho with or without pipe running to the ring with another member of their loose faction to run them off. And it does feel like they just do that over and over again. This happened to have the added wrinkle of Riho coming without pipe, which means no one runs away from Riho without pipe. Riho has to remember to bring her pipe if she's going to decide to run people out of the ring, because it's not going to work otherwise. And then Jamie Hayter saves Riho. So there's that.
Yes, and of course they're going to fight next week for the women's world title. Sky Blue was the other one. We got Sky Blue instead of pipe. Wasn't as effective, I guess. Nobody
Riho carrying Sky Blue to the ring instead of a pipe would have been a great shout, but yeah.
Tom LaValle notes, Aubrey had that green eyeshadow. And, you know, Ruby did dye her hair green before turning, so...
It's possible. You never know.
I don't think Aubrey would ever do that, but if there's any referee who could pull off being a character, I think it is her. But Alex, we got a Powerhouse Hobbs promo that just very quickly recapped him beating Penta, and he said, this title's never leaving me. Hobbs is doing great. I don't love QTV. I've said it on Twitter. It's not.
I'm very happy we did not get a QTV tonight because I am not into that at all. I love Will Hobbs, and I'm happy he's the TNT champion. I hope he has another couple of defenses like he had against Phoenix and Penta before he inevitably, you know, he will lose that at some point. But I want him to have these good matches because I think he's a better wrestler than people give him credit for. He's definitely a big boy who can throw people all over the place. I think there's a lot to this title reign for him. And I'm happy he's got the title, but the QTV thing isn't working for me.
It's not working for me either. Look, I love everyone involved. I don't need the TMZ ripoff. That's not my thing. Just the normal of it, let alone wrestling iteration. But guys, get in your super chats and your humper chats because we're going to talk about the main event segment here. And Alex, it was a good one. And on any other night where Bryan Danielson doesn't turn full heel, it would be my favorite on the show because Adam Cole, baby, my favorite wrestler, has finally returned after a 9-month layoff due to injury. And he wrestled Daniel Garcia. And it was a really good match. And it appears Cole is taking on the Bryan Danielson get scared every time I take a bump roll because, boy, did it work, Alex. Taking pile drivers.
Pile drivers were just vicious, too.
They were gnarly. Garcia's
like, I hope your head's okay because if it ain't, you're going to die. Like, Garcia was not in the mood to pull any punches, so to speak. This was a lot of fun. Adam Cole as a true babyface, not a tweener, but like a true babyface where they're stopping the post match for him to kiss his girlfriend and get streamers dumped on him. Like he is a true babyface now. It's been a long time since we've seen him do that. I think he's perfectly cut out for it. I think it's going to be a really great run for him. This has been a really good, this is a great way for him to come back with this one match and also then another thing that happens after.
I mean, fun things here. Daniel Garcia tuned up the band for Sweet Chin Music only to get super kicked himself. Cole is able to get out of the Dragon Tamer, eventually hits the super kick, the Panama Sunrise, and the boom for the victory, Alex. And I noticed when this match was over, I said there's a lot of time left on the clock.
I was hoping for a BCC run in. I wanted like Adam Cole to join the Elite. I would think that would be great.
I was too. At this point, I'm going, my God, you know, Garcia just joins BCC and Cole joins Elite. And this is
it's everything I wanted.
And then Alex Judas plays in the arena.
Yep, that's bad. That's you a know, bad thing.
Judas plays in the arena and Chris Jericho is mad. He's very mad, Alex. He's storming to the ring and he says he gets Garcia. He's pulling streamers off him. He won't even look Adam Cole in the eye as Adam's celebrating with Baker. And we go off the air with Chris Jericho is mad at Adam Cole.
Yep.
Alex, I think this is where we're going for Double or Nothing.
Oh, we're definitely doing that. I just hope that's fine. I mean, honestly, here's the thing. Adam Cole, it's honestly a perfect slot for him to be in because Adam Cole gets to wrestle like Cool Hand Ange on an episode of Rampage. Just like he gets to take it easy inching back in. This match with Garcia will be the hardest he has to work in any match between now and May 15th or something. And if you're going to have a feud coming back, Jericho's the right guy to work with. Honestly, Jericho's not going to do anything that's going to damage you. He'll absolutely put over Adam Cole. It's the right thing to do. That's great. I just like, I want Adam, I love Adam Cole, and I'm really excited to see him do the babyface thing. And this is like, I wished for this. Like, I honestly been like, man, I really wish that Adam Cole will come back whenever he's healthy. God, I hope he's healthy soon. I've been saying this for like 6 months because he's been out for 9 months and I've been hoping he'll come back for like six. And when he does, I hope he gets an amazing, huge babyface ovation and they let him have an awesome babyface run. And they did that tonight. But then the monkey's paw showed up. And the monkey's paw says, he did. He's back. He's a huge babyface. And you have to watch him feud with Chris Jericho for 2 months. And if it's 2 months, I'll be okay with it. If it's 6 months, you can all go to hell. Because that's how long Jericho's feuds usually last, is far beyond their expiration date. If it's 2 months and he beats Jericho on a one-on-one match, double or nothing, and moves on, awesome. I'm all for it. But let's not extend it beyond there.
So, truthfully, this has been a dream match of mine for years. I once said, probably like 2 years ago on this very podcast, that if I could pick anyone to retire Chris Jericho, it'd be Adam Cole, and that was back when he was in NXT.
Yeah.
They're obviously going to feud over the Bay Bay thing. Mm-hmm. The promos will be fun. If we can get the Jericho we got last year, the Lionheart run, I think the match will be great, but I don't want to see this go for 7 months. That I can say comfortably, but we do have some super chats here. Alex Jambeard says, I do like how JAS is getting three different feuds, 2.0 versus Acclaim, Jericho and Cole, Sammy and MJF. It'll limit their gang wars, or devil's advocate here, it will just extend the gang wars to everybody on the roster.
Right.
Jambeard also wants to know, Alex, what happens if the feud is almost a year?
Well, I just walk off my roof at some point around the 8 month mark. Listen, I don't think it'll be that long. Think about it is that people are pointing out that the Starks feud really wasn't that long. True. It just felt really long because Starks got the victory over Jericho to start the feud. And then they had him do all the stuff with Action Andretti in the middle. And every time every feud with Jericho feels super long. Even if it isn't super long, but like they had the one that started with Eddie beating him at Revolution last year and then went through the entire summer with like some variation of Jericho versus Eddie with everybody else getting involved. Like, please, it doesn't need to do that. So honestly, I do think this can be really great for both Yas in that it would break them up, and also for Jericho and Cole, especially if it just ends a double or nothing, we move Cole on. I think babyface Cole challenging MJF at All Out is a perfect match to anchor that pay-per-view. Babyface Cole versus MJF is a program you need to do during this probably year-long reign of MJF. It's a great one. And this is a good way for Cole to get over the Jericho hump and then move into MJF.
It definitely is a match they need to do. Adam Cole was on MJF's list of people who he would never defend against.
I do, or who will never, he says, who will never beat me.
I will never beat him. Was it Adam? My brain don't work, so I can't cope, Cole. Like
something like that. Also, I firmly believe he will have a match against everybody on that list.
Yes.
It's going to be good.
Ryan W. with a nice super chat here that says, Stella got her groove back, hashtag AEW. I don't know if that's a reference to anything. Maybe Adam Cole, maybe Bryan Danielson returning home to violence, but Stella did indeed get her groove back. Mm-hmm. We also have one here from Irene that says, with the Elite feuding with BCC, what babyface trios should feud with House of Black? I would push Top Flight and AR Fox, make AR Fox part of the team.
Here's the
problem with that, because I think that they're going to go ahead and beat the Embassy over in Ring of Honor.
I do too. And that I don't want this. But if you told me there was one unified title between ROH and AEW, the trios seems like a good idea. Because it's really hard to keep two separate trios divisions. So why not have one set of trios belts? Now, I don't necessarily want this, But if Top Flight and AR Fox beat the Embassy, then and Top Flight and AR Fox have those titles and they feud with the House of Black and it's a unification feud, that's a great way of getting of having the feud and having it mean more. But you're right, because it did feel like up until tonight, it did feel like, oh, it's Yas versus House of Black in this feud that'll, you know, that'll take him into Double or Nothing. And I was like, I don't know that I really want that, but I guess that's what we're getting. But we're not, because Sammy's doing his thing with MJF. Garcia, I'm not really sure. There's a lot of stuff there, but they're trying to bring the Daddy Magic and Ange are trying to bring in the Acclaimed. There's that. Hager's just hanging around with Daddy Magic and Ange. Jericho is going to be feuding with Cole. It feels like everything's being pulled apart and there's no room for a House of Black feud. So I'm very interested to see who they will be feuding with, but I think Top Flight and AR Fox is my pick, certainly. We got to talk about this, too.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Because they just announced tonight that Sammy Guevara versus Takeshita is happening on Rampage. And I get it. You got to build up Sammy Guevara for his feud with MJF by giving him a bunch of wins. Can he not beat Takeshita? A dude who desperately needs wins? Like, I get it. Sammy Guevara needs to win matches. Can he not beat Takeshita along the way? That's all I'm saying. Please don't do that.
I do want to point out our moderator, Birthday Boy Luis, said, hear me out. Two belt AR Fox and Stranger Things have happened. I definitely think he'll have gold sooner rather than later in one of the six man. But there's also Death Triangle. There's quite a few.
I like this one. Best friends and OC after Cassidy loses.
I agree. I think Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta have needed gold. They are one of the only OG acts that haven't gotten them. So hopefully they get something soon. And we also have a comment here from Gesture Designs that says, saw Xavier Woods live at PAX East, and he confirmed tribalism is basically just with the fans. I think every wrestler says that. You know, I mean,
listen, I think the tribalism thing, I think that absolutely wrestlers who are in one company are friends with wrestlers who are in another company because they've worked with them in the past. And also that is a bond, like a sameness. You have a thing in common with other people who nobody else does. The life of a professional wrestler, the bumps, the bruises, the long nights, the crazy travel, all of that. Just a simple shorthand of terms that you use with each other. Of course, they're going to be friends or at least friendly with each other. Except for, oh, I hate that guy. Like that's totally normal in any walk of life. But I do think that by and large, I think that most of the people who work for WWE are probably friends with most of the people who work for WAEW.
Yeah, and as we ended out here, we got a couple more super chats and Humper chats. We've got one from Jambeard that said, spoiler for Supercard of Honor, but did you two see who got announced for Garcia's opponent? And TK announced it on Twitter. Daniel Garcia versus Hiroshi Tanahashi. Alex, how do you feel?
How I feel is that I'm going to have to buy this pay-per-view and then watch it like 4 hours later at 2 in the morning.
Alex, like it's so funny. I feel the same way.
Because I'm going to be watching SmackDown and then doing a watch-along of Rampage while over on another channel somewhere where I have to get into my cable box to find it. There's having the greatest wrestling card in the history of the universe, apparently. Because they're just, hey, why don't we just throw in Daniel Garcia versus Tanahashi on this thing? Because we don't have enough good matches yet.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It should be a banger. I'm excited. I will also be here doing the SmackDown post show with Alex Cardoza. I may also do a Rampage watch along. Maybe, you know, maybe Alex, you just jump in on that
sure,
as well.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I want to round this one out here from, of all people, Princess Diana, that says, you gentlemen do a marvelous job. And then Jambeard says, you know what? Put Action Andretti with Top Flight as the trio if AR Fox is going to be ROH Trios champ. I'm all for Andretti getting some gold sooner rather than later. Yeah. I think it's a little too soon, but we will see. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. We got another super chat from Broadway Joe that says, Alex, Takeshita needs to keep losing until he caves into the dark side and joins Callus. At least I think that's where it's going. No, because the dark side is now with BCC, and I think
dark
side is
BCC.
Going.
The good and side apparently is Callus. Here's the thing. I also think that's where it's going. At least I think he's going to BCC by burning Callus. Where I understand, like for storyline purposes, this makes sense. Him losing, however, for non-storyline purposes, i.e. for my own purposes, I never want to see Takeshita lose because he's lost too many matches that I've wanted him to win. So now he's going to have to make up for all the times I've had to watch that man lose. He's going to have an Orange Cassidy-like streak where he was like 17, 18 in a row.
He is. But, you know, I really enjoy Takeshita. I think he's been one of the best signings since
great.
The company's started picking up more talent. We have a comment here from Jaden Fox, who's rubbing in time zone differences for us, saying Supercard is at 11 a.m. on Saturday for me. And that's perfection.
11 a.m. on Saturday for me. I got to watch the NXT thing. I mean, like,
yeah,
it's the longest friggin' show
for Stand and Deliver.
It's the longest friggin' weekend of my life. But hey, you know what? I could be sitting in an office doing data entry. So this is a lot better, I think.
I completely agree. And guys, it is the longest weekend of our lives. It is WrestleMania weekend. And we got you covered here on Fightful.com. Fightful Select, the best $5 in the business. You're going to get a whole bunch of scoops from SRS this weekend, who's traveling for WrestleMania. You're going to get exclusive podcasts with Alex Pawlowski. You're getting Grab City. You're getting early access to interviews, podcasts, so much more. We're going to have everything WrestleMania weekend covered, the collective covered, all that good stuff. We're going to have Impact NJPW covered. Literally, I'll be covering half of it, so I can tell you for a fact it will be covered. And we just appreciate your support so much, and we thank you guys for hanging out. You can follow me, Robert DeFelice, on Twitter at DudeFelice. That's DudeFelice. Alex, where can they find you and all your wonderful ramblings?
You can find me at Alex Sour Graps on the Twitter for as long as it still exists. And also, I'm really glad I didn't go to the trouble of trying to get verified all those years ago, because that's going away on Saturday. Anyway, also...
April Fools.
Yeah, April Fools. So then you can find me on Fightful Select, reviewing Raw on Monday with the Indomitable, Kate Elizabeth. Tuesday with Kate on this channel, reviewing NXT, Wednesday here, where I am, and then on Fridays on Fightful Select, I review SmackDown while watching Rampage. It's a very concise hour, reviewing one show that just ended while watching another. It's a lot of fun. People seem to like it. And then all damn weekend, because I'm going to be doing on this channel with Kate, reviewing Stand and Deliver right before WrestleMania actually starts. I'm going to watch WrestleMania Night 1, then I'm going to do a review of that on Fightful Select, and then the next night we're going to watch WrestleMania Night 2 and do a review of that also on Fightful Select, and then the next night we're going to do Raw after WrestleMania on Fightful Select, and then the night after that we're going to do NXT Tuesday after Stand and Deliver. Honestly, it's going to be the longest week ever. So,
guys, there's so much content coming. I'll be here on Friday with Alex Cardoza. Sean Ross Sapp will be back by Saturday for the first night of WrestleMania. He'll be here all weekend long. Guys, be safe. Be good. Thank you for hanging out. Alex, thank you for coming along for the ride. Yes. We will see you next time. But until then, we're out.
Bye.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.